to be a blessing to us tonight. I want us to honor the Lord for the angel over this house. Dear wife, the Lord bless you. And I sincerely love you, so may God bless you in Jesus' name. And I came in and met a pleasant surprise, Pastor Ntia also and his dear wife. And I just give them a big, big God bless you. Every man and woman of God here, may the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Let's lift our hands and ask the Lord to speak to us tonight, even by His Spirit. Father, grant us grace, grant us illumination. For the Bible declares that the entrance of your word gives light and even understanding unto the simple. Speak to our hearts, for in your light we see light. Someone is praying. Ask the Lord to give you an encounter, even by His word tonight. An encounter that will shift us from one level of grace to the other. They go from strength to strength, the Bible says, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. For in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Father, we thank you again for granting us the rare privilege of hearing your word, accessing light from scripture. We pray in the name of Jesus that tonight will be a defining moment for our lives and destinies, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for this beautiful assembly. Let this be the season where it steps into a higher dimension, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for everyone who is here and for those connecting from around the world, and even other campuses and other viewing centers, in the name of Jesus, that you will bless your people. That all together we will grow tonight. We will access light and even power from your word. For in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you again. Thank you. Thank you so very much. I love the word of God because among the many things that it does is it empowers an individual to redefine your spiritual possibilities. Our possibilities are not only dependent, listen carefully, our possibilities are not only dependent on the will of God. God can say yes and your life can remain no forever. It doesn't change God. Are we together?
Yes,
the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Even to one who never experiences the goodness of God, that scripture still remains true, because God cannot lie. But it is your assignment to access light that now turns your life to be consistent with that which has been spoken. Hallelujah. It never said the word is settled in your life. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It takes illumination and it takes your obedience of faith to now turn it to become your reality. So moments where we encounter the word are moments where our lives change. Because without an encounter with the word, there is no basis for rising. There is no basis for excelling in this kingdom. Hallelujah. This is a kingdom that is knowledge dependent. Please listen very carefully. In this kingdom, no matter how sincere you are, it may not be enough to take you to the place of destiny. It takes more than a sincere heart. Hallelujah. It takes knowledge, high level spiritual illumination. Paul prayed over the church in Ephesus and he said, I bow my knees. He says that the Father of glory may grant unto you. He was praying for them now. Are we together? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. He says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. Not that ye may assume. Ye may know. You can come into a point of certainty. Please give us Luke chapter 1. We'll read the first 4 verses. God is already speaking to us. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. We're reading from verse 1 to 4. Luke chapter 1. My apologies. We'll start from verse 1 to 4. Luke 1, 1 to 4. I'll read and then I'll ask you to read along at a point. Luke chapter 1. We'll begin our reading from verse 1. I'm not sure my screen is giving me Luke 1. It's giving Luke 4. Luke 1. Thank you. For as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Verse 2. He says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3. He said, it seemed good unto me, having had perfect understanding. Someone received this in the name of Jesus. So an individual can have perfect understanding. There is such a possibility in the kingdom that you can have perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Let's read verse 4 together. If you have it, if you can see it, we'll read together. 1, 2, read. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. In other words, I don't want you to just keep believing because you trust the person speaking. I want light from the word to enter your spirit to a point where you come to a point of certainty that the things you have been taught and the things you are being instructed in are true indeed. Are we together? Yes. Most believers live in assumptions. They live in assumptions, largely believing the person who is speaking. The reason why they believe what they are hearing is not because they have come into a personal encounter with that truth. They just trust that the person who is speaking will not deceive them. And as wonderful as that is, it is dangerous for your spiritual adventure, because you will get to a point where you will be face to face with that mountain. You will get to a point where life will test your stamina and the depth of your understanding and your conviction. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So it is good to believe because you trust the vessels, the integrity and the sincerity of the vessels that are teaching you. But more than that, it is important that you come into a place of personal conviction through encounter. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, he says, that he's able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. So we must get to a depth of persuasion where we are not just reciting verses or just speaking spiritual gibberish. You believe that God heals. You believe that God literally owns the universe and it is within his power to enthrone kings and to dethrone kings. It is not just a cliche you are repeating after a man you trust. It has become your reality. Are we together? Yes. The character of faith is that it speaks from a standpoint of conviction. You cannot doubt what you have seen. You can doubt what you have heard. The assignment of revelation is to make you see what God is saying. Hallelujah. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and I will set myself upon the tower that I will see what you will say unto me. So it's going to be a brief session, and I pray that God will charge our hearts. We are discussing along the lines of territorial dominion and taking over. And the Bible calls us kings and priests. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, we have been made unto our God kings and priests. And it defines the jurisdiction of our dominion. Now please look up. When it has to do with the dominion of the saints, it is important for us to understand that our dominion is jurisdictional. We do not have dominion everywhere. Are we together? There is a predefined geography where the dominion of the saints is legitimate. For instance, you do not have dominion in heaven, where God dwells. You do not have dominion in the throne room. It is not part of the jurisdiction of authority given to you. Are we together? Yes. So the Bible does not leave us in the dark as to the fact that there is a predefinition to the jurisdiction of our dominion. It says, he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign where? On the earth. So immediately it tells you that there is the jurisdiction. Anything that threatens your reigning and your dominating in the earth is already threatening a divine order. Are we together now? Revelations 5:10, Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 28. Let them have dominion. Praise the name of the Lord. The second thing I want you to understand about the dominion of the saints is that there are two levels of dominion. There is absolute dominion and there is shared dominion. Absolute dominion belongs exclusively to the monarch of the universe, God himself. Are we together? Yes. We're going to be learning shortly. The dominion that the saints have received is not absolute dominion. It is shared dominion. Please look up. The character of shared dominion is you depend on the authority and the alliance of the one who gave you for your dominion to be effective. That means your dominion is ineffective if you cut away from the person from whom you derive your authority. Are we together? So the saints do not have absolute dominion. Our dominion is shared dominion. It is God who has absolute dominion, because the Bible says, in the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, God and man. Not in the beginning, there was a helper and God. Are we together now? In the beginning, God. It didn't say God came through the beginning. Are we together now? That means God predated the beginning. You see that? Yes. In the beginning, God. When the beginning showed up, it found out God was already there. That's what he's trying to say. The beginning did not bring God. The beginning found out that it was not the first. When it arrived, God was already there. Praise the name of the Lord. So he has absolute dominion. There, do you know one of the reasons why God cannot sin? I hope I don't get distracted tonight. The reason why God cannot sin is not because he's righteous or he's holy. The concept of sin means you have to be in defiance to an authority higher than you. Are we together now? The idea of sin cannot be a possibility until there is an authority higher than you. So the possibility of God sinning is not there, because he is the final monarch, not only of the universe. There is no authority above him. So the possibility of walking in defiance to anyone does not even exist. So when the Bible says things like God cannot lie, he is not threatened by that temptation. It's unnecessary. When you have the power to create everything, lying is possible because of a weakness of limitation. Are we together now? If I own a restaurant and you call me a thief, it's not necessarily a wise concept. You don't use that kind of statement for me, because I'm in the midst of plenty. And if I'm a manufacturer and you say I stole a pack of biscuits, I accept it's a demonic oppression. Otherwise, it's not necessary. Are you together now? There are certain temptations that there is nothing. The strength of temptation is a vulnerability that resides within you. Are we together? So when God cannot sin means that if there was an authority higher than him, we will have a right to vet that statement. But the Bible says that there was none even above him. He swore by himself that by that oath and promise it is impossible for God to lie. That means the concept of right and wrong does not exist with God, because right and wrong will respect whose authority? Are we together? If God decides to end the earth today, he's still not wrong. The earth is his property. Are we together now? So I think I'm helping us appreciate how great this God is, so that it will help to stretch our trust in him. Most times we are used to laws and we are used to the hierarchy of authority, so we apply that also to God. No, when he brings himself under his word, it is an act of, it is the extent to which he wants to make man trust him. If God decides to violate his word today, he still did not sin. He is God. Are we together? That means whatever it takes for God to change your life, even if you say it is unfair, if it is God that did it, it is still righteous. Are we together now? This is powerful, so that when you release your faith, you can know that there is truly nothing that He cannot do. God in one night can pick someone, and by the next day He has changed your story. And even though there is something called the law of process, He can choose to defy it. He is still God. That's what I want you to understand. So our dominion on earth, back to what I was saying, is shared dominion. We derive our authority from our relationship. We cannot be effective outside of our partnership with God. He can exist without us, but it is impossible for us to exist without Him. Are we together? So that is very important. The earth is our jurisdiction of dominion. Therefore, it is not carnal, it is not unscriptural to desire expansion, to desire new levels and new dimensions. It is consistent with the command and the decree for dominion. Are we together? It's important for us to vet where the motivation for expansion comes from, so that we will know if we are in the will of God. Because the jurisdiction of God's attention to the saints is that they must be within the boundary of His will. So if our desire for expansion, have I lost you now? If our desire for expansion, our desire for increase is inconsistent with the will of God, then there is no guarantee that we can have His backing. Are we together now? The word of God and the will of God is the jurisdiction of His attention to the saints and the jurisdiction of the operation of His power. God's power does not operate indefinitely. God's power operates within the coordinates of His will. That means outside of the will of God, the power of God has no assignment in the life of the saints. You must come under the covering of His will for His power to be activated. Just because His power is available does not mean it works arbitrarily. Are we together? There are rules of engagement. The power of God works only according as it is written. It is written is what triggers the operation of the power of God. If it is not written and it is inconsistent with His will, His power will remain inactive. That is the reason why, even though Jesus was hanging on the cross, with the ability of God to raise the dead, He remained there, because it is written, "Cursed is he that hangs upon the tree." So the power of God could not be active at that point. And the king of the universe was hanging on a tree, and God looked powerless, because there was no prayer you would have prayed for Jesus to come down from the cross. If His power acted on that cross, it would be against the will of God. Are we together? So it is important for you to understand that what we are exploring in this conference is consistent. Many believers are not able to walk in dominion because of the guilt of balancing our consecration and our priesthood versus a sincere desire for expansion. That is why I'm beginning by letting you know that your desire for expansion is not carnality. It is consistent with the program, the dominion program of God for you. Otherwise, you will reject great things God is giving you simply because you have adopted an idea that piety equals spirituality. So all of this journey is to bring us to a point where we are comfortable with the concept of increase, spreading, expansion. It is not an option for a few believers. It is part of the strategies to enforce your dominion on earth. So when you are praying for increase and expansion, it is not just the prayer of an ambitious pastor who wants crowd. Are we together? It's not just a desire to prove to people that God is with you, that you are in the will of God, consistent with the mandate to reign on earth. Are we learning? All right, so let's really go to our teaching tonight. Wherever we stop, we'll pray. Psalms 24 and verse 1. I want to share with us by the Spirit just a few principles that will help us. Verse 1 is the only verse we're looking at. Psalm 24 and verse 1. We'll read KJV, and then if it's possible to give us Amplified, that would be fine. Otherwise, no problem. KJV, in fact, just leave KJV. Very interesting information. Now, if you study the psalmist was a man who was really a man of the secret place. Are we together? The depth of his love and his hunger for God allows us the basis to trust the things that came from the Spirit through him. He was a man given to prayer. He was a man given to worship. He was a man given to sincere love for God. And by reason of those credentials, we can trust the things that he has written. Are we together now? And among the many revelations he had access to was this mystery of the cosmos and even the mysteries of creation and dominion. Here's what he said: the earth is the Lord's. Very powerful information. The earth is the Lord's. Someone needs to find comfort from this statement, because we live in a world where people bully people because of land. It says the earth is the Lord's. That means everybody met land on earth. The real landlord is the Lord. Are we together? The earth is the Lord's. Number two, it says the fullness thereof. Number three, the world and they that dwell therein. This is the verse we are going to be looking at for today. So the Bible tells us immediately four very important information here that are responsible for dominion. In other words, it is impossible for an individual to be said you are walking in dominion until we see authority in these four realms. Number one, the earth. Number two, the fullness thereof. Number three, the world. Number four, they that dwell therein. Let's look at this a bit. Is God blessing you tonight? Hallelujah. So territorial dominion is measured by having authority and dominion in these four realms. Every time Satan wants to bring a people under siege, these are the four realms he attacks. Number one, he plants a siege across the earth. Number two, he attacks the fullness. We are getting there, the resources within that territory. Number three, he attacks the world, the mind control system within that territory. And number four, the inhabitants. These are the realms that define the jurisdiction of dominion. Whoever is able to gain dominance across these four realms must have territorial dominion. Number one, again, the earth, land. There is a dimension of faith and kingdom dominion that is expressed in land. When you read your Bible, every time God had a covenant with his people, among the many things that he made available to them was access to a space within the earth. Is that true? He calls Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And then he now begins to speak prophetically to him. All of this I will give you, all of that I will give you. By the time we get to chapter 13, he returns back from Egypt. And the Bible says he had this and that, he had a little bit of quarrel with Lot, and so on and so forth. And then he just spoke to him and said, as far as your eyes can see, I will give you. Why will the God of heaven, who is making a covenant with a man, be interested in the issues that pertain unto life? You find the same thing with Isaac. You find the same thing with Jacob. Are we together? The entire battle in the Bible that you see was a battle of territory, battle of lands. In fact, to a point where God would ask the nation of Israel to fight Jericho, and yet they did not need to occupy it. So why did they destroy Jericho? It was not blocking their way. They would have just left it and passed. Why did they kill the people, destroy the place, and then kept going? Are we together now? Dominion expressed in land. That among the many ways God validates his dominion power upon you is that he grants you an option from heaven to have a predefined space upon the earth. Listen very carefully. Your dominion is incomplete until it is reflected by space, land upon the earth. This is powerful. In many religions, they know this. And so, among the many ways that they subjugate believers, and this is world over, is to prohibit them from having access to land. Are we together now? You can do any other thing, but the moment you start talking of land, physical space, now there's a problem there. Are we together? They will fight you and say, no, you can't have this. Perhaps, at best, they can give you a lease. But the moment you begin to talk about ownership, I want to buy, people begin to be threatened because they understand the implication. The moment you have a space, you become a bona fide stakeholder, not only in the earth, but the activities that happen within that territory. Are we together now? Please, we need to understand this because many believers are ignorant. Why should a believer have the desire and the passion to own a space? After all, the old heaven and the old earth will go away. So why should I be interested? Are we together? Why should I be interested in having land? See, if we are not mentored properly in the body of Christ, we will remain defeated as a people because of an inaccurate understanding about the strategies for kingdom advance. It is impossible for dominion to be demonstrated until and unless there is a dimension of your dominion that is reflected in land. Are we together? So that when God blesses you with land, you don't just see it. It is more than a proof that you are rich. That is too small a reason for God to invest so much like that. No, not to prove that you are rich. It's a lot more than that. It is a statement from heaven that he's giving you dominion over one of the realms. Please, let's go back to 24 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 24. Exodus 34, 24. Help us in the name of Jesus. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge your borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land. That means one of the ways I will keep you in dominion is I will stop people from desiring to fight land with you. This is the Bible. It says, when thou shalt go up and appear before the Lord thrice in a year. Let's look at two more scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 19. From verse 8 and 9. Deuteronomy 19, 8 and 9. Thank you. It says, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give thee. Who promised? God. Next verse. If thou shalt keep all these commandments and do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways. Let's read the remaining part. Then shalt thou add three cities more for thee beside these three. That was not a reward for just being a smart investor. He's saying when you make progress in the spirit with me, as you walk with me, as you are making progress in the spirit, there will be a reflection of that progress in your dominion expressed in land. Is it not in your Bible? If you obey me and walk with me, among the many ways I sign upon your life that our relationship is working, is that the earth, there will be a resonance from the earth that agrees that you are walking with God. I will add three more cities. Are we together? For many people, the concept of land acquisition and possessing land is only a business phenomenon. That means you are a wise person, you were able to save and buy land, and that is wonderful. But I am telling you, there is a spiritual implication to owning land. The earth is the Lord's, and among the many ways he signs his relationship with you is to give you access to a space upon the earth. Do you believe this? Let's go back to Psalm 24 and verse 1. So the first realm is the earth. The earth is the Lord's. The physical landmass. It means for every one of you under the sound of my voice in this beautiful church and those who are following online or following from afar, there is a land space, there is a land reflection to your spiritual walk with God. Are we together now? That as you walk with God, not just some carnally driven desire, that somewhere in your walk with God, if it is the God of the Bible that you walk with, eventually in your walk with God, there will be a reflection of His grace upon your life, shown as dominion over land. So don't be surprised if someone says, please, the Lord put it in my heart to give you a hand. Now, listen. That is how determined He is to make sure that this first realm of dominion answers to your life. Read your Bible and look at the lives of every genuine servant, father of faith. They don't start their journey with the desire to acquire. It is to love the Lord. But as their relationships get deeper, the earth starts to register that relationship. It is a fact. Listen, the next time God gives you land, don't just clap and think wealth alone. Don't just clap and think business savvy alone. See what you have gotten access to land as a statement to the realm of the spirit, that the owner of the earth has registered the sincerity of your passion by honoring you with land. This is the reason why you can get land even by favor, because God can give men more than just buying it. Is that not in your Bible? Psalm 43, 44 and verse 3. They got not the land in possession by their own swords. It's in your Bible. Neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand, thy arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. The earth is the Lord's. I believe this with all my heart. Believers need to redefine and spiritualize our idea of access to land and whatever is there, because I notice most times we just use it and we just keep gratifying the flesh, and there is no spiritual understanding as to why God keeps giving us land. So it does not bless us. It derails us from being spiritual rather than even encouraging us. The man who walked with God, God willed the earth. How can God will the earth? Is that reward enough? I thought God would say, I will keep appearing to you all the time. And He says, in thee shall all the families that are residing within that land be blessed. Look at the character of God blessing men. He did not bless them in isolation to the territory of their dominion. Let's go to the next one. Psalm 24 and verse 1. Is someone following? So the earth is the Lord's. Number two, the fullness of the Lord's. What does that mean? The fullness talks about the resources and the abundance that are in the earth. Notice all the things that are the Lord's. God is listing all His properties now, because until that time there's been a lot of confusion. Who really owns this thing? The owner is speaking now. The earth is the Lord's. Number two, the resources and the abundance is the Lord's. And the Bible says the increase of the earth is for all. Is it in your Bible?
Yes,
that means that everyone who finds himself upon this landmass, prophetically and territorially, you are entitled to a dimension of the increase of the earth. Whether you walk in it or not is a different thing altogether. But according to God's blueprint, in the economy of God, there is a space for everyone. Once you arrive, part of the program, the preparation program for your arrival, is that there is a portion of the resources of the earth that was allocated for your destiny and your church or whatever. So don't start ministry wondering where will the money come from. The money is in that information, the resources thereof. Just because it is not within your reach does not mean it is not within the space. Jesus knew this. Listen, Jesus knew this, and when it was time for him to have a triumphant entry, he says, go to a street that the roads divide. You will see a colt that no man had ridden on. So the man who was taking care of it was a caretaker. But did he know it was a caretaker? That means there are many people holding things today. Hallelujah. Thank you. There are many people holding things today. They don't know why they can't touch it. It says a code that no man had ridden on, not even the owner. I'm sure he must have had a desire to climb it, but he did not know that that code was on assignment. The fullness thereof. The fullness thereof. The confidence of the believer is not just in the naira, pounds, and dollars in the account, but it's in this awareness that the monarch of the universe was intelligent enough to see to it that if you are here, if he told you to have dominion, it means that there is a system in his economy that you can have access to the fullness thereof. Most preachers, you're a man of God, I know there are many preachers here. Most people are afraid. We live in a world of the mundane pursuit for guarantees, respectfully speaking. Can you help to stand? As I'm going to a new land, where am I going to get the 10 million, the 100 million? There are no guarantees anywhere. The guarantees hinge on the integrity of that statement. Everybody who becomes, becomes because they believe that there is something in store for them. And that when the season comes, as you walk in the will of God, he is able to walk through you, and everything needed will gravitate its way by the intelligence of the Lord of the universe. Don't be surprised when God lifts you. Don't be surprised when resources come to you. They did not just appear, they have been there, but they are waiting for your alignment to the will of God. Hallelujah. Do you believe what you are hearing? The fullness thereof. The fullness thereof. The earth is still full. No matter how empty it looks, the earth is still full. The fullness thereof. Number three. Four realms. Number three is the worlds. This is talking about the mind control system. Listen carefully. Every time the devil wants to bring a territory under siege, these are the things he looks for. And every time you want to enthrone Christ across a territory, these are the realms you seek to see Christ enthroned in. Number one, the physical landmass. Number two, the resources. Whoever has access to the resources of a territory will dictate the lifestyle and the way the people live. Is that true? Now, number three, the world. The mind control system that governs that territory. This is very important. Every territory survives and lives by belief systems and ideologies that are largely constructed by people and have been preserved for many years. Every territory in the world intrinsically is the same. Everything we see that divides the world into third world, second world, first world, is simply the quality of the belief system and the ideology that has been promoted and respected within that predefined territory. Are we together? The quality of my life and your life, my territory and your territory, will be a messless reflection of our understanding and our ideologies. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That means it was not just because he was the Son of God. There was an ideology that was built in him that made the Holy Spirit comfortable to live in him and granted him access to do the things that he did. The earth is the Lord's. Number two, the resources and the abundance within that territory. Number three, the mind control system. Do you know, when you study modern history, you will find out that most dictators and most people who who subjugated the inhabitants within a territory, their first port of call was the newspapers or the radio stations. They owned it. Are we together? Even in many parts of the world today, there are nations of the world that are many times larger than Nigeria as a single nation, and yet they may have only one television station. It is the desperation to make sure they guard and protect jealously that which frames the understanding of people. Number four, it says, and them that dwell therein. Please give it to us. Still Psalms 24 and verse 1. They that dwell therein, talks about the inhabitants now within that territory. The inhabitants, they that dwell therein. Have I lost you in this teaching? So let's do a quick recap that we are saying for territorial dominion to happen, there are four realms that the saints must focus on. Are we together? If your dominion is not reflected in these four realms, you cannot be said to walk in dominion. And every evil that destroys society hinges on these four realms. The earth, access to space. Are we together? Now, sadly and painfully, we talk about the herdsmen and Boko Haram, and you go and study one of the many things that drives this ideology is the quest for land and space and ownership. Are we together? In fact, it is purported that most of the monies that are taken during kidnaps are used to use proxies to buy more space. What is it about space? Are we together? Because space is what gives you legitimacy within a territory. Are we together? The moment you buy land, you can even be comfortable to use your physical address on many documents because those vaccinations will no longer come again. Are we together? Many times when you're filling forms, they will even ask you, how long have you been here? Anything that fights your potential for acquiring land is doing more than just impoverishing you. It is fighting something from the realm of the spirit. Are we together now? Yes. Anything that fights your prosperity. And when I talk about prosperity, I'm not talking about a negative, carnal, sensual approach to it. This is prosperity with a kingdom understanding. Are we together? Because you see, this world is economically driven. And one of the ways to make you a slave is to make you a borrower. There is a relationship between being a borrower and being a slave. Is that in your Bible? So another word for calling you a slave is to call you... It's what the Bible says. So the devil will stop you from having access to resources. Because you see, resources gives you room for possibilities. When you are constrained in terms of resources, that among the many things that it does, the assignment of money and financial resources is for time redemption and for efficiency. That's it. The real biblical assignment of money is to help you redeem time, because the unit of destiny is time, and whatever eats into your time is eating into a part of your life. So when God grants you access to financial resources, it is more than just a prosperity preacher jumping up and down and saying, I'm rich. He has given you the tools that will help you to redeem time. Are we blessed? Yeah. For our discussion tonight, let me focus on the three. The world and they that dwell therein. If we talk about the earth, land, and the fullness, resources, we may not have all the time to exhaust it tonight. When God wants to bring increase in your life, when God wants to expand you territorially, please listen. The last two, the mind control system within any territory and the inhabitants within that territory, these are two important components to your territorial dominion. It will be impossible for you to establish territorial dominion without men and without ideologies. Are we together now? The presence of world compliant ideologies and the presence of multitudes, these two are mysteries in the kingdom that help men establish dominion.
Are we together? Let's talk about mind control systems. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible uses a very interesting rendition. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Please give it to us. Acts chapter 6. I wish we could read this in Amplified. The Bible says, and the word, thank you. Thank you so much. And the message of God kept on spreading. Please look carefully. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Are you seeing the progression? The word kept spreading. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. It says, and beside a large number of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's the word I'm looking for. That word right there is called influence. Bringing a people and a territory to a point where they are obedient to an ideology. It is impossible for you to be able to take over a territory until you can bring men to a point where they submit to a common creed that governs their life. It is your assignment to bring people to a point where they buy into your convictions and your ideologies. In this case, to believe that he's the Messiah and the one who, through whom eternal salvation comes. Listen, most people, when we talk about taking over, for most people, the idea they have is that one day Nigeria will become like Dubai or become like US. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it will not happen in this side of God's program. Just believe me when I tell you. Except you don't believe Jesus is coming soon. Are we together? Yes. I believe that the emphasis when we talk about taking over is not just turning cities to become cosmopolitan. In God's idea, the first approach is institutionalizing the program of God. Listen, the idea of takeover is enthroning the lordship of Christ in the hearts of men within a territory. Are we together? And then promoting the gospel as an ideology. There is the gospel as a message that saves. There is the gospel as an ideology that transforms. You can receive the message that saves. That affects you personally. But the ideology that transforms is what translates to territorial transformation. Most believers have embraced the message that saves. If you embrace the message and you throw away the ideology, you can be saved, V-E-D, but you will not be saved, S-A-F-E. Are we together? An example of this was the man Lot in the Bible. The Bible lets us know that Lot went to settle near Sodom. Remember? By the time Abraham came to rescue Lot, he was in the midst of a depraved generation, yet he was still a righteous man. So his personal conviction and his loyalty to the God of the Bible was not affected. And yet his daughters were about to be destroyed. Remember, because he dwelt in a territory that had a mind control system. Many believers do not understand this apostolic dimension of kingdom advance. So our focus is on evangelism to get people saved and to declare the lordship of Christ. And that is wonderful. But when we stop there, and we do not extend to being the initiators of the ideas that frame the thinking of territory, we are in trouble. Are we together? Every armed robber today came from a family. Is that true? Everybody plaguing society is often said that every national problem was a regional problem that was unsolved. Every regional problem was a community problem that was unsolved. And every community problem was a family problem that was unsolved. Is that true? There are many believers today who are very ignorant about this dimension of the gospel that plants in you an ideology that seeks to enthrone Christ. The ideology of the gospel is very important. Believers in Antioch were not called Christians necessarily because of the way they dressed. In fact, not necessarily because of the way they talked. There was a way, there was an ideology. Are we together now? When you see a military man, even if he's in mufti, watch him sooner or later. Something about the overall military idea Are we together now?
Yes.
If we have a doctor here, and when you bring a doctor, say from Unilag, you bring another doctor from, say, ABU, you bring another doctor, say, from Unimed, and you bring another doctor, say, from a university in London and all of that, you bring those doctors together, you call all of them doctors, and nobody will suspect one another. Why? Because even though you may not trust where they are coming from, you trust the manual that trained them. Are we together? That their training was systemic and it was vetted meticulously, that if this man was ever given that DR, a doctor, then he's a doctor indeed. In fact, sometimes you can meet for the first time in the surgery room and yet not doubt one another. How come? That means a believer in Lagos and a believer in London and a believer in Abuja, they should come together and the difference should not be much. When the difference is much, the lecturer and the manual is our point of suspicion. There are Igbo lecturers, there are Yoruba lecturers, there are Hausa lecturers, there are South lecturers, there are lecturers who don't speak very vocal, there are lecturers who are fluent and intelligent. We are able to circumvent all their limitations because the manual that is being used and the system that was designed is so potent that not even the limitation of the lecturer ultimately interrupts the program. How come our ideologies differ from region to region? It means there is something about the discipleship system and the growth system of the average believer. Are we together now? Please sit down. The purpose of church is not to fuel the ambition of a man to be spiritual or to serve God. It is too small a reason. The purpose of church is to provide platforms within a predefined geographic area where believers are methodically mentored. According to Jeremiah 3 and verse 15, that I will give you pastors or shepherds according to my heart. Back to KJV, please. Thank you. It says, and they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Are we together? So when you talk about dominion or taking over, the first thing you are promoting is not just, as much as I commended it, it's not just physical acquisition of properties. The first thing you are promoting is the gospel in these twofold dimensions. Number first is Jesus Christ being enthroned in the hearts of men. That's what you call salvation. And the Bible says there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. If men are not getting saved through your life and through your ministry, that dimension of the gospel is not being promoted. Salvation is not just an accreditation that a man is from God. It is part of a program. It means that every day and every service and every time, somebody should be saved. And the moment someone is saved, we rejoice. Do you know why we rejoice? We rejoice because that program, that salvation, among other things, is proof that that program is succeeding. But the second part is the part that concerns us. I can tell you this, the average believer does not understand the ideology of the kingdom. And the word of God was so designed. We call it the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew 13:11. Jesus was speaking and he says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. This is the course content that builds up the ideology of the kingdom. We call it doctrine. It comes from the Latin word doctrina. The word doctrina means a set of beliefs that trains a student to become something predefined. Are we together now? So the word doctrine is the course content that makes a disciple. A disciple is not a follower. A disciple is a student. A disciple is not a fan. A disciple is not a well-wisher. A disciple is not just a follower. A disciple is a student. A student that has submitted himself, herself to methodical mentorship. Are we together? The course content is not just an idea of a man. The course content has been predefined by the wisdom of God. It is called the mysteries of the kingdom. That means if an individual gets born again and you come to an assembly like this, by the time you are 2 years old, you should be able to defend your stay in this church by the excellency of your understanding. If I probe you across the various mysteries of the kingdom, you can't get zero. That means either you or the leadership in this case, for instance, must be at fault. But you sample pastors, sample the average believer, respectfully speaking, across our assemblies and begin to vet them across various subjects of the Christian faith. You will live with pain in your heart because there is longevity in church, but there is stuntedness in growth. Are we learning now? So the concept of takeover or kingdom advance, it's not just to say, oh, we are doing this, I've built a factory, I've built a business. Those things are the latter part of that agenda. In order of priority, number one, is the enthroning of Christ in the hearts of men. Because if people are enlightened and they are not saved, they are not of Christ. I hope you know that.
Yes.
The foundation for the believer's experience is not church. The foundation for the believer's experience is not miracles. The foundation for the believer's experience is Jesus, not even spirituality. So we start with Jesus, and then we evolve to the program. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. This was the activity of the early church. They did not become mighty just because they were supposedly privileged people. They submitted themselves. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, you would read that when there was trouble between the Grecian women and all of that, and they wanted the apostles to come, and they said, no. You bring people and we'll appoint them deacons to handle the matters of bread. But as for ourselves, we will give ourselves continually. Someone say continually. Not once in a year. Not once in a month. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So when a believer says, for instance, I have grown, I am matured, there are biblical indices. You can, by the authority of scripture, vet that statement. Defend your growth and maturity. Let me hear you. What do you know about God? What do you know about Satan? What do you know about prayer? What do you know about death to the flesh? Are we together? What do you know about spiritual warfare? What do you know about evangelism? What do you know about mentorship of believers? What do you know about discipleship? What do you know about prosperity? What do you know about life after death? What do you know about the supremacy of the word? What do you know about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? What do you know about the excellency of the fellowship of the brethren? If you cannot answer these questions, you can't say you are growing. What then are the indices? Are we together? We use wrong indices like longevity in church or appointment and titles. We say, I've been given this, and it may not be wrong, but that is not the biblical indices to measure maturity. Are we still together? So when you talk about taking over, the first thing you have to do is you have to articulately this. You have to design that software. The product you have as a man of God is the software. The summation of your ideologies that turn people to become like Christ. If that manual is not prepared, you do not need expansion. You see that the basis for expansion is not just longevity in a current realm. Just because you have stayed 5 years, 2 years, respectfully, I'm speaking apostolically, as a pastor, or you just feel we need to spread out. No, you only spread out when you have done your homework, working in partnership with the Word of God and the Spirit of God to design a growth manual. That means if I send a pastor to another branch, he's not there guessing what to do. He has been trained. The doctrine, the course content of the growth of the believers is already predetermined. So as a man of God, I can go to bed and rest and not be calling him all the time and say, what did you teach today? I am confident because a program has been designed for the growth of the believers. There's still confusion in the body of Christ across many things. When I mention certain topics right now, we are going to fight in this place. That means that we men of God have to take, there is still a serious burden to decipher the jurisdiction of the cost content of the believer's holistic growth. For instance, the moment I mention prosperity, most likely this precious conference will be divided into three people. Those who say, count me out, I'm not a party to all this nonsense and rubbish. Or those who say, yes, that's right, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Or those who are confused and say, well, the other day I liked this, but when I had another message, you see, that level of confusion is proof that something is not yet clear. Are we together? If I call the believer now and I say, teach me, let's assume I'm an unbeliever and I want to be saved. Walk me through in the presence of everyone. How does Jesus become Lord of my life? You will be surprised at how many people who are in church who cannot lead someone. Why do I have to confess and repeat after you? I saw it like that, so you just follow. I hope I'm not wasting your time tonight. Don't just laugh. It's a very serious issue. Can I tell you the truth? In this end time, there are people who will be very sincere but will never grow. And their growth will be stunted not by Satan but by God. It will be stunted as an act of his mercy to stop the spread of error. There are people by themselves, God is going to peg their growth, because if they should spread with these disjointed spiritual things, there will be casualties in the body of Christ. Are we together?
Yes.
So many times when God prohibits growth, it's not just a demonic attack. It's an act of his mercy to help us do our housekeeping properly, so that by the time he announces you, you will not become an embarrassment to the things of God. There are many people who are not yet ready for expansion. Maybe technologically they are ready. Unfortunately, when we talk about expansion, most times we just think in terms of tech, in terms of media, in terms of all of these things, and then financial resources. I think we are ready. No, sir. Show me the cost content. Show me your work with the Holy Spirit. Show me the capacity you have built. I was so touched and impressed when Pastor told me the church has been fasting for 40 days. For 100 days. Let me tell you, even if you have been playing for 100 days, eventually in that play, the realm of the spirit, whether demonically or spiritually, you will collide with something genuine. Are we together? I have profound respect for leaders and people who pay attention to their spiritual health first. More than technology, more than Facebook and all of these things, your power and passion, the depth of your understanding, the level of spiritual illumination. Look up, please. Did you know that it takes high level light to turn? If you off all the lights in this room now, this place will be called darkness. Darkness is not the passage of time. Darkness is the absence of light. If your 12 midnight can still be 12 noonday if there is light. The Bible says, and he called the light day. Not the time in the morning. He called the light day. That means any time you call day is when light is present. And any time you call night, night is not 7 o'clock, 12 o'clock. And the darkness he called night. There are people who are still in the night at 7 a.m. There are people who are still at night, 12 in the afternoon. Because that reality is framed by the presence of light. Please hear what I'm telling you. The Spirit of God is speaking to some of us that the reason why you may be praying even as an individual, Lord, take me to higher levels. I'm a man of God. I think I qualify now to be announced to the nations. Sometimes God will be the one to peg you. Right now, we think the key is to just go online and get some people to promote you. No, sir. There is a signature that if it does not sign on your life, you will be wasting your time. Are we together? The signature of the Spirit is He is the only one who marks that script.
Show us the ancient path. Will you lead us along eternal highway? We want to follow the ways of Jesus. We want to enter your rest.
Listen, there are many of us right now. You may have received prophetic words from your man of God. You may have received prophetic words from any man of God you love and respect. And he says, this is a season of increase and expansion. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the biblical index for expansion is the depth of your stamina and your capacity in the Spirit. God loves you too much. You don't know the attacks that come with growth and increase. And many times when God vets you and He sees the gap in your spiritual knowledge, His mercy will keep you at that level so you don't just die before your time. There are people who have not worked on their character. Can you stand criticism and still be praying? Someone said, oh, you are the one that picked this Bible, and you've been shouting for 2 weeks defending yourself, and you want God to announce you to the world. It means you will beat your wife and everybody because you are angry. So He will keep you. Not as an act. I hope you like what I'm preaching. I'm sorry, I apologize. You invited me. There are many people whose lack of growth and expansion is not necessarily demonic. It is the mercy of God, because there are certain messages they have not had. It is a risk for them to be released. There are certain levels of consecration they have not assumed yet. It is a risk for them to be announced. Are we together? When God wants to help them, He brings those teachings to them early, and He brings it fast, but not in the absence of those teachings. There are people today, if God announces you and somebody gives you 1 billion, you will be disappointed with the possibilities and the tendencies that are hiding quietly within you. Are we together? Hiding quietly. Who would have known that David, your good David, so there was a murderer in that shepherd. You would see a young man. That's the kind of man you want to be a branch pastor. Very quickly, a young man who is loyal and faithful. But ladies and gentlemen, there was a murderer hiding there. Just because the opportunity for the evil has not been revealed, make no mistake that you are all right. That's why when we cry before God and roll up and down, we are not doing it because we are guilty or we feel condemned. We are declaring our awareness of the tendencies locked up within us. And we are saying, Lord, before it is revealed and I destroy something of 30 years, start working on me now. I don't know if I like women. I don't know if I can take liquor. Don't be clapping and say, Joshua Selman is only God that knows the truth. So, Lord, before I become a disappointment to myself, let me roll before you. This is the true spirit behind worship. When you break down before God, it's not condemnation. When you break down in repentance, it's not like you are saying you are wrong. You are saying, Lord, I want you to prune me that I will be higher and greater and do more for you. Listen, if you want to go far with God, I want you to cherish what you are hearing tonight. Unfortunately, these are not secrets that, and let me respectfully plead with our co-laborers, ministers of the gospel here. When the younger ministers or some of our sons or people come and ask us, let us not just tell them the wonderful things happening. Let's be sincere to tell them the consecrations and the covenants that produce the kind of power they admire. We have a generation that is now obsessed with results. Oh, protocol came in, you know, when it was. So behind their fasting and prayer is already a corrupted motive from day one. I heard that you fasted for 40 days and an angel appeared. Fasting I go on from day one already. That's why people meet with familiar spirits, because the doorway for the Holy Spirit to come has been blocked with flesh. And another spirit will come, stretching through that lust. That one is not hunger, it is lust. And at the end of 40 days fasting, such a spiritual activity, people will meet with familiar spirits that will now begin to initiate movements that keep causing trouble in the body of Christ. And the individuals may not be wrong, they may not be fake, but they were victims of lack of purity of desire. We must be honest to tell the people who are looking up to us. It is not, listen, we are what we are by the grace of God, but please let's not tell lies. The grace of God is activated by a depth of sacrifice and consecration. Let them know the stories. Are we together? So, if God wants to lift Eden Christian Center, among the many things that He does, is that through this period of fasting that your man of God and you precious people of God, you've subjected yourself to fasting and prayer, God begins to bring us as leaders into higher levels of mastery in spiritual understanding. You can know that a new season is opening up for you. Do you know why? Because there is a heightened level of mastery in terms of your spiritual understanding. You begin, the way of the kingdom is expounded to you more perfectly, like it was done for Ananias, I believe, Apollos, the gentleman. The Bible says he was a young man in Alexandria. The Bible says he was eloquent and he was fervent in spirit, but he knew only the baptism of John. And one time he preached, and Aquila and Priscilla called him and expounded to him the way of the kingdom more perfectly. When God begins to subject you through prayer, through fasting, through disciplines and learning of doctrine, He's preparing you so that wherever He sends you, you appear there with that software. You can look at the whole nation and rejoice because you know they will be changed. Listen, we are powerful because of the message we carry, not just who we are. It is the strength of the software. If you send me today to Lagos or Maiduguri or London, when I appear, I'm happy for the people. It's not because of me. This empty vessel cannot do much, but there is something that is locked up within. It's a software. It's been pre-programmed already. Within that software is the power to save. Within that software is the communication of a sound exegesis of doctrine that can transform people from one state to the other. Within that software is the power that brings healing and deliverance and miracles. It is based on that software, powered by the Spirit of God Himself. That's what gives us the confidence to go to the nations. Our confidence is not in the sufficiency of the flesh. When you assume this state and this posture in the spirit, then God is ready to announce you to your world. You can be sitting down quietly in a prayer group, and within 5 months, within 1 year, God just announces you mysteriously. This is true even for business. You can sit down as a leader. You came from some background. No one has invited you. You get to a point where there is a strange demand. You know that the Hear Ye Him anointing has come on you. And let me tell you, when the anointing comes on you, it doesn't matter how you hide. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel. If the lamp is not lit, that's fine. You can keep clamoring for relevance. But when that fire comes upon it, my assignment tonight is, number one, to challenge your Christian experience, to expand within you an appetite for more of spiritual things, and to connect that appetite to purpose. The purpose not just being ambition to be a greater version of you, as wonderful as that is. The purpose is kingdom come. Because of your desire to see the efficiency of God's program, you can fast, you can pray, you can study. When others are sleeping, you are awake. Not just because you are in some competition looking for relevance. It's more than that. The agenda is more than relevance. It's to see Him lifted. I would say it this way, that Jesus is revealed and Jesus is glorified. John chapter 17 and verse 1. Jesus was praying, and the Bible says He lifted up His eyes to heaven and He prayed and said, Father, the hour has come. He said, glorify now Thy Son, that Thy Son may bring glory unto Thee. John 15 and verse 8. Herein is our Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be My disciples. Verse 16, same John 15. Thou, you have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you, He says, and ordained you. The word ordained is to legitimize your operation. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Galatians 1:24, and they glorified God in Me. We need to redefine the concept of church. We need to redefine the concept of preaching and teaching. It is more than an ambition of a man. It is more than a man building an empire. Servants of God, co-laborers, we have to be careful. I pray that our generation will not lose it. That will be that generation that is pegged at this understanding. That we are, listen, the difference between a celebrity and an ambassador is purpose. Both a celebrity and an ambassador need the tool of influence. But the difference is purpose. The days of superstar Christianity is coming to an end. I can tell you, naturally coming to an end by the power of God himself. Is an emergence of sincere ambassadors. People who love Jesus and love the body and love his program more than their reputation and their lives. This is how we were trained. Let us not forget that those who trained us did not train us just for the mundane pursuit of ambitions. Don't get me wrong. In the service of God is prosperity. In the service of God is influence and increase like you have never known. But more than that, the desire to see Jesus revealed across the nations. This has been my pursuit. It is behind everything that I do. I stand before God to tell you, I have no business building any empire for myself. No. And it's not because of what God has done through my life today by the grace of God. It has always been so. It's none of my business. Honestly, believe me. If I die today, you will try to wake me again and again. And if you try and pray and pray and fast, maybe add 10 days to your fasting and it doesn't, you'll go and bury me. And that's the end of it. When your life becomes all about him, genuinely, not this thing we do on stage, genuinely, you see, when you are lying, the people have the spirit of God. They know that you are just being church and man of God. This is more than preaching, no. It's a passion I am praying will infect you like a virus. That you will leave this meeting tonight and say, Lord, I need a redefinition to my Christian experience. I repent that I have promoted the agenda to be seen more than the agenda to reveal you. Lord, it's not that you are bad, it's the vulnerability. Maybe some of us, we came from backgrounds where someone said you will never amount to anything. And you say, watch and see. Throw that watch and see agenda. It's too small an agenda for the investment of God's power and increase. No. Hannah, if the only reason why you want a child is to stop the mockery of Penina, then that's too small a reason. God is looking for Samuel, not just to end a mockery case. Are we together? We must reconnect our passions and our desires to the revelation of Jesus, not just the proving of a point. And so what when you buy the car? And so what when you build a house? And so what when you preach the Greek and Hebrew words? It's too small a reason. To see you high and lifted up, you are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. We'll see you high and lifted up. You are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Listen, when this becomes your posture in the spirit, you are ready to lay up gold as dust. Many things God, by reason of this posture you have taken, God will take the prayer request of many people and give you as a gift because your heart is right. There are many things. Listen, if many people will be honest with you, they will tell you, including the man standing here, there are many realms of, do I call it results for the sake of lack, want of word? They are not necessarily a reflection of the quality of your prayer life or your personal pursuit. Many of them are realms that God brought you in because he saw your determination to be an effective tool in the body. It is because of this that you do not pride in the flesh. As much as you have fasted, ladies and gentlemen, I salute you. But realize that in this kingdom, we are ministers of the spirit. It is not after the flesh. We do not derive our power and our resolve just from the rituals of spirituality. Are we together? Yes. when you keep your fasting behind the cross, it will profit you. But if your fasting becomes before the cross, it will corrupt you. Because it will make you full of yourself and you say, by reason of my 100 days fasting, I should be walking in certain levels of the anointing. And you will be disappointed that flesh may even seem to be growing. Because don't forget, fasting can attract Satan. Did you read the temptation of Jesus? Satan came to someone who was fasting, and as soon as he was done, the first person he met was Satan. We're going to pray. I love your pastor and I love the work that he's doing. And sir, I salute that which you are doing for the kingdom. You see, when you understand this, every time you have the opportunity and the privilege to be a blessing to everyone, all of this petty childishness in the body, competition, all those, you throw it out of the window. Because we are one coordinated team with one assignment and one goal, to see Christ revealed and enthroned across every strata of human activities. And where God provides us an opportunity to lift the hands of one another, we do it in the spirit of humility. Are we together? Knowing that we are all products of the grace and the mercy of God. This is the correct ideology for expansion. This is what we must sell to the generation looking at us. The superstar lifestyle and the superstar Christianity and self-aggrandizement, Joshua Selman, you are this and that. You know, sometimes I meet preachers and when they look at me, they have this kind of, oh, this privileged person, you have so lavishly celebrated me. And I sincerely appreciate you. I thank you for it. But let me tell you this. God's agenda and program is bigger than a man of God just clamoring for the attention of a generation. That is not what we are doing. We are passionately, we have poured our lives like a drink offering upon the altar. That we will by any means make our contribution to see Jesus revealed within our lifetime. And we have sold ourselves completely, no going back. That Lord, whatever and however. Let me sing you a song. Whatever you want to do, Lord, you can do through me. Whatever you want to say, Lord, you can say through me. Whoever you want to lift, Lord, you can lift through me. Whoever you want to bless, Lord, you can bless. Here's the reason. I'm yours, Jesus, I'm yours forevermore. I'm yours, Jesus, I'm yours forevermore. Whatever you want to start, Lord, you can start through me. Whatever you want to end, Lord, you can end. Take time for me. Listen, that means if I lay hands on someone who is sick right now and he stands up from the wheelchair, it is more than validating a man's ministry. It is more than an accreditation that because I fasted, this has happened. What I have revealed by that act is that God himself loves the world and is able to heal. And now that he has found a privileged vessel, I count it an honor for his power to flow through me and become a blessing to that individual. The center of focus is not the vessel. The vessel is only an usher. You are a bad usher if the praise is stopped with you. It must get to the one who is deserving of that glory. Are we together? This is the secret to the miraculous. That your life is perpetually pegged behind the cross. That the more people see you, they don't just see a celebrity. They may see an inspiration, truthfully. They may see someone that will challenge them. But more than that, they see a vessel that is determined to reveal Jesus. then you will see his power like never before. Then someone will come to meet you and say, the Lord spoke to me that you are establishing 50 branches, and the Lord has said I should fund 45 of them. And people say, how did it come? The purity of your desire, striking a chord in the realm of the spirit, will make the one whose earth, the earth, remember our scripture, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Because you are willing to take that mind control system of the gospel as a message that saves and an ideology that transforms believers. Listen, let me tell you why we do not see the power of God the way we want to see. The focus is using God to glorify self. So, if I heal 10 wheelchairs from my meeting, we say. Now, I'm not being sarcastic. You get the point? This is a believers' meeting. I'm challenging us as we prepare to pray. Or someone just gave me a jeep. Someone just gave me some property somewhere, or someone took me to a vacation. Those things are not accolades in the spirit. In the realm of the spirit, anything worth clapping for is to the degree to which it revealed Christ. If Christ is absent from that operation, it is only a sounding cymbal. So while you are clapping for the many things you think Joshua Selman is doing, for instance, the realm of the spirit will pass all those achievements with respect to the revelation of Jesus. And it is only the part of that result that ended up revealing Jesus that will be worth clapping for. The day Jesus will come, we'll be surprised. Many of us that clap and believe we are celebrities will be so disappointed, because you will see one quiet mama who was never on the internet, was never in any crusade, but that is the woman who powered our generation to remain strong through her prayer and her consecration. As you clap for Jesus, remember Anna the prophetess. Please help them. I'll start ministering to people shortly. I just saw a wind here. The Spirit of God is resting on people, because see, there are many things that must happen to you tonight. I beseech you by the mercies of God, servants of the living God, co-laborers, and those who by privilege of God's grace look up to our generation. Let us throw away pride. Throw away pride. Let me repeat it. Throw away pride. The time has come where we must grow as believers and focus on the revelation of Jesus. Let us not ill-mentor a generation by gathering accolades to ourselves. No. Casting round, lifting hands, bowing hearts, one who comes to me. Casting round, lifting hands, bowing hearts, one who comes to me. Many times in my visions, I have seen this many times in my encounters. There are anointings that we have not yet seen. Believe me when I tell you, there are dimensions in the spirit that are still in vials, ready to be poured upon the inhabitants. And you know by prophecy that Africa is that one that will lead. Africa is what will lead that campaign of the restoration of the authentic faith work. Not to demean other regions, but other regions have had their shares of revival. The battle is upon Africa. That rejected stone. But God is crying for people beyond personal ambition, apostle, prophet, pastor, whatever it is. God is crying for people who love him more than money, love him more than miracles, love him more than titles, love him more than church buildings. There is a kind of man God is looking for. The Bible says, but in a great house, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let him that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is more than sin. It is not sin. Iniquity is a perpetual state. Listen carefully. A perpetual state in the spirit where you are in defiance to the program of God. It says, but in a great house, there are several kinds of vessels, of gold, of silver, of wood, and of clay. It says, some are unto dishonor, and some are unto honor. The condition is, if a man will purge himself, it says, that man will be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use. You have not seen the power of God till you die to the flesh, till you die to your ambition. Then you will see the miraculous. Then you will see prosperity. Then you will see increase. That God will give you a nation in a day. Are you ready to pray? Let's pray for a few minutes and then just speak over our lives. Wherever you are, I'd like you to pray. For some of you, your prayer is a prayer that returns you back. Returns you back to the place of the altar. Returns you back to the place of genuine consecration. Returns you back to the place of genuine pursuit. Go ahead and pray. Please make sure you are praying inside, outside. Don't follow it online. Make sure you are praying. And the entire membership for stretching through 100 days of prayer and fasting demands a level of consecration and spiritual discipline. I salute this church for 10 years. 10 is the end of a cycle and the beginning of a new one in the spirit. You see. But please hear me. That which is coming upon you tonight, I want you to know that it's more than just a man of God being anointed. It's an ignition. It's an initiation to a higher realm of spiritual possibilities. There is no limit to what the Spirit of the living God can do in and through a vessel. The price is death. The price is more than good speaking. The price is more than good singing or good preaching. You sing out of that death and you minister life to people. He says, so then death works in us, that life will work in you. Hallelujah. I challenge you, like women like Catherine Kuhlman and some who have joined the cloud of witnesses, they will cry and demand for a greater intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We need a restoration of His ministry. And right now, I mentioned, please, I want you to bring these people out and see the number 7. There is an anointing that is coming on people right now. And the Lord is saying it's a new season. There is a depth of work. And touch my head. Let that grace run through you now. Take that grace.
Take that place. Take that place. Take that place. Man of God, take that place. Take that place.
thing that happened to him was he said the donkey you have been looking for has been found. One of the signatures of encountering an authentic apostolic and prophetic ministry is restoration. I speak to you, the restoration of time and the restoration of things. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Pray for the man of God. Pray for the woman of God.